1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel retaliates. I'm Richard Cantu. The International Atomic Energy Agency confirming Iranian state media reports that a nuclear power plant at Isfahan in Iran was not damaged after Israeli missiles hit at least one site in that country.
We know from a U.S. official that Israel has struck Iran overnight in retaliation, apparently, for that Iranian attack on Israel with drones and missiles at the weekend. So it's an incredibly important moment. What we're hearing on the ground is that from Iranian state media, that's the mouthpiece of the regime in Tehran, is that there were explosions around the city of Isfahan in central Iran. What we can't say for sure at the moment, what was the target of that attack and what any potential damage was.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. Iran fired a volley of missiles and drones at Israel last weekend in retaliation for an Israeli airstrike in Damascus, Syria, that killed two Iranian generals. This is ABC News. A resident of Tampa is getting a break after getting a massive cell phone bill. ABC's Sherry Preston tells the tale.
European vacations aren't supposed to be cheap, but this was a bit much.
$143,000? Are you guys crazy?
That was the bill Rene Raymond got from T-Mobile following his trip overseas. The company says he had the same problem a lot of people have. He kept his phone's roaming service on and made all the calls and texts he wanted. It adds up. Raymond claims he called T-Mobile before his trip, and after contacting our ABC station in Tampa and hiring a lawyer, T-Mobile agreed to erase the $143,000 charge. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Barbara Streisand will release a new record April 25th, a day after her 82nd birthday. She recorded the song Love Will Survive for the upcoming series The Tattooist of Auschwitz on the Peacock streamer. In a statement, Streisand says she sang the song to remember those lost to the Holocaust. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More remains have been found believed to belong to a young woman killed in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says the remains were found along the shore of Lake Michigan in South Milwaukee early Thursday. 19-year-old Sharday Robinson was last seen April 1st. 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson is charged with killing her. A new study links long-term exposure to air pollution to an increased risk of dementia. Dr. Alan Cronenberger Andrade is a neurologist. He says the results beg for more research.
We see that there is really evidence linking air pollution to cognitive decline and dementia risk.
The study says people who live near highways have it worst of all. 120,000 people in Wisconsin live with Alzheimer's disease. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Another Badger leaving Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, just hours after we told you that guard A.J. Storr was leaving Wisconsin to play for Kansas, another Badgers basketball player has entered the transfer portal. It's guard Chucky Hepburn, that's two starters in 2 days, leaving coach Greg Gard's program. Marquette introduced their new women's head basketball coach, Kara Consuegra is a former Marquette assistant.
You know, coaching is my dream. It's something I've always wanted to do. But ultimately, for me, it is a vehicle to help me help young people grow, learn, and prepare them for life.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers Sunday night, game one of their playoff series. No new updates on Giannis or Damian Lillard.
I hate to tell you this. I didn't even ask today. I didn't ask about Dame today. Troy comes in and tells me who's practicing. And I said, we can talk about that later. I need to get to the practice plan.
That's head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy skies in the overnight. West to northwest winds still breezy with lows by daybreak in the mid-30s. On Friday, more clouds, breezy west winds between 35 and 40 miles per hour, highs in the upper 40s, more sunshine expected Saturday. Right now, it's 40.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL star, Phil Nee on National Record Store Day, and Tim Gerson, LA film critic.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very busy hour. We are waiting to be joined by U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. Senator Tammy Baldwin is going to be joining us momentarily. Very much looking forward to talking to her. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 11:33, Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. We're talking about the Bucks.
The Bucks.
The Brewers.
Yay!
And the NFL draft, which starts on Thursday. And then final segment of the show at 11:50, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be joining us for weather and wine. And we'll find out what's coming up for the next couple of days and what the weather patterns look like and things like that. So before we went to the top of the hour news, we were talking about Speaker of the House Mike Johnson actually bringing aid packages to the floor for a vote. Mm-hmm. All individual packages.
Yeah.
Aid for Israel, aid for Ukraine. And on Twitter this morning, Julie Serkin from NBC News just tweeted this out. Things just got very heated on the House floor. A group of hardliners trying to pressure Mike Johnson to only put Israel aid on the floor and hold Ukraine aid when Mike Johnson said he couldn't do it. Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own. Derek Van Orden called him tubby and vowed to bring a motion to vacate. Our most mature.
I didn't realize they were holding House votes on the playground.
Just continues to cover himself in glory every time he speaks. Wisconsin, that's the third district.
I was going to say, well, you hear that, Wisconsin third? That's your guy.
You must be so proud.
Tubby.
He called him tubby. What are you, 12?
I don't even know 12-year-olds would say tubby.
Honest to God. It's no one in the group, according to, again, Julie Serkin from NBC News, Matt Gaetz, Bobo Boebert, Higgins, Donalds, none of them are threatening Johnson with a motion to vacate. Van Orden now seemed to have escalated things dramatically.
Well, I think, you know, Van Orden is, I think, a Dutch for flying off the handles.
Could be.
To anybody else out there whose last name is that. I just couldn't resist. Okay. I mean, this is a bad look, and every time he's covered, it's always for...
It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, meanwhile... He is the champion of the farmers. He's on the ag committee. I mean, it's...
And what has he done?
Yeah, it's...
What has he done?
Got a text came in from 419, listening to WAUK. That's the Republican Party I've come to know, fear and laugh at. I mean, honestly, that's the best way to put it. I kind of think that's how we do it here. It's like, we laugh at it, we talk about it, and we learn, but we're also like,
ugh. Well, and if you listen to the show for any length of time, I think you know that we might be laughing at things, but these are often very deadly serious things.
We never use humor to pull away from the seriousness or the importance of the issue. We know when to speak with.
I like to think so.
We know when to speak with respect and honor about things. That's not the word I wanted to use, but that's fine. But we also like to have fun, and we hope that you engage that way as well with us too. But we will never let you down when it comes to that. We'll never make fun of something that shouldn't be made fun of.
We try not to.
Yeah. Oh, it's someone. I'm in the third. 715. I'm in the third, and I'm disgusted with DVO.
I think a lot of people are, and I think especially when you mention the farmers.
Yes. You know,
they still haven't passed that farm bill, right?
Nope. And they're going to wait on it. And, you know, that's one thing I really credit this network of doing for me, is giving me a love and knowledge for farmers in this state.
Absolutely.
And the more I learn and the more I hear from them, especially Pam Yonke's farm report every morning.
Yes.
5 to 6.
She's magnificent.
I become more and more enraged when I hear anyone speak about farmers and helping them when they're doing nothing
to help them.
Yeah, because then they go to their farms, they shake their hands and say, I'm helping you. And really, those farmers aren't stupid. They're like, no, you're not.
Well, and let's not forget, Eric, California guy, lake sitting, axe throwing Eric Hovde, said not too long ago, the farmers are pretty lazy. Because now they all have air-conditioned cabs and radios in their cabs, and so they don't work that hard.
Yeah, but
what an insult.
Yeah.
What an insult.
We love the farmers. We love Pam Yonke. We love all of you.
We are waiting for U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin to join us. I'm sure she has, I don't know, a couple other things going on, maybe some other meetings. But she will be here very shortly, and I wanted to share with you an article from Urban Milwaukee talking about accomplishments. Senator Baldwin, and this is from April 9th, announced that a number of rural Wisconsin airports are getting over $2.6 million in federal infrastructure money to make critical upgrades to improve safety and increase revenue.
They're
all over the state. So one is the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport, getting about over $2 million. They're going to build a new 2-bay South General Aviation hangar. A West Bend Municipal Airport, about $13,000. Palmyra Municipal Airport, almost $500,000. Waupaca Municipal Airport, $55,000. And Manitowish Waters Airport, $110,000.
That's something we don't think about or talk about often enough, is those municipal small airports that do, I mean, they...
And they're critical for so many of these little communities.
Yes. I mean, there are some places in the United States where that's how you get places.
Right.
And they need upgrades. They need to be taken care of. They're part of the infrastructure as well. So, I mean, really, it's good that we're paying attention to this. So,
we are delighted. She just joined on the live stream. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, good morning, Senator. Thank you so very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. It's wonderful to get a chance to join you.
Very excited to have you here. I know you are a very, very busy person, because it just seems like, Senator Baldwin, you keep doing things for your constituents. What is up with that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there are a lot of things that I hear from my constituents as I travel across the state. And it really informs my work in Washington, D.C. But right now, I think folks are really struggling with the high cost of things. We read the headlines that say inflation is down significantly from its higher point. And then you go to the grocery store and you're like, that doesn't feel like it to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And, this is not just our grocery bills. This is also what working families pay for childcare. This is about the cost of housing being out of reach for many. And I'm trying to work on all of those fronts. And so just to give you an example, I sit on the Senate Appropriations Committee, which helps fund the various agencies of government. And one of the committees, the subcommittee that I chair, has jurisdiction over childcare. And we were able to raise the childcare and Head Start funding by $1 billion nationwide in this last budget, even though our instructions were you need to spend less this year than you did last year. even with that, we were able to prioritize this because it's such a significant issue. You know, lots of families are spending, I've heard as much as 35-36% of their income on childcare. And it can cost more for childcare than it does in-state tuition at the university. I mean, it's just outrageous. But anyways, I've been able to do that overall funding increase, but also fund some local projects across Wisconsin. There's one in Fond du Lac where they're going to have a shared facility for childcare entrepreneurs. So there might be, so they can all be co-located in the same space, but so you can start a business as a childcare provider in this space and have support as a new entrepreneur as you launch your business. But also, of course, it will attract more opportunities to get childcare in that region of the state.
That's so important. And we've talked to a lot of our listeners too, Senator Baldwin, about exactly what you said and the unbelievable cost and the kind of people get stuck because you want to work, but yet is it worth working with what you have to shell out for childcare? So it's and the need for childcare is not going to lessen. It's only going to increase. So this entrepreneurial center sounds like a really, really positive thing.
Absolutely. And the $1 billion that we were able to get for childcare and Head Start will also help lower tuition costs for parents. The state will ultimately administer Wisconsin's share of this, but it basically can help people who can't quite afford the tuition that is charged by their childcare center. And it sort of helps match your funds with these childcare dollars in order to make make it all work, and so that's another really important aspect of this. But yeah, I hear also from people who say, look, when my children are young, I worked. It also took up almost all. That person's income, but they were paying into Social Security and into Medicare to make sure that once their children were school aged, that they hadn't lost ground in terms of their career. But it is very frustrating to see almost an entire income, if you have a two-income family, consumed by the childcare alone.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. And Senator, I know you only have we only have about a minute and a half left. I know you have to go. Real quickly, we can talk about the inhalers.
Yes.
That's so critically important to so many people, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we've made some really real headway in recent years in lowering the cost of prescription drugs, medications that people need to survive, frankly. And when you're talking about inhalers, they need to breathe in emergent cases. But so people, we have probably 500,000 Wisconsinites with asthma. And the four major manufacturers of inhalers, They charge between $250 and $650 per inhaler in the U.S. And we launched an investigation to say, why are the list prices so high here, where in Europe you can get an inhaler for between $5 and, say, $75? Well, our pressure and our scrutiny got them to voluntarily lower their prices to no more than $35 a month out of pocket.
That's a huge...
Amazing. We didn't even pass legislation. We just investigated.
That is incredible. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, thank you so very, very much for making time for us today. Very, very much appreciated. Have a wonderful
day. Thank you.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and if you're watching on the platform that Elon continues to ruin. We were very, very fortunate to have a chance to talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin.
We could have had her on for an entire 2 hours talking about all the things she does.
Absolutely.
Am I a liberal? I am. I lean left. I do the left thing, the lefty dance, whatever. But there's no getting around. I'm just going to put it in plain terms. There's no getting around the piles of money she brings back to the state for various programs that helps everybody.
Yes.
From the farmers to the infrastructure to inhalers to child
union,
care.
To union workers.
To union workers. And guess what? A lot of those people that help get helped by her don't vote for her. She doesn't care.
She does it anyway.
So, yeah. Speaking of people who get help from her and don't vote for her, you mentioned Palmyra Airport as one of the municipal airports getting funding. I went to high school in Palmyra, and yes, I can. A lot of people will be voting for Eric Hovde from Palmyra, and I don't think they'll even know that the airport got funding because of Senator Baldwin.
Well, and that's why that is what we try to bring out, because, right? Because otherwise, it's either the other side doesn't mention it at all, or the other side takes credit for it, even though they didn't vote for it. And we've been seeing that happen all over the country, too, with a whole bunch of Republicans who didn't vote for the infrastructure bill, and now they're getting $1 billion, you know, for whatever infrastructure project in their state. It's like, look what I did for you. Look how fabulous I am.
You didn't vote for this.
Exactly.
And the other thing too is, that goes back to our mission at, and, you know, for the network, but especially for Jane and I and for Calvin too, with this show. If you're listening in that area, tell a friend about the show, or just say to them, hey, I was listening to a story about how Senator Baldwin helped finance this place that employs people and helps people, you know, turn the tide. I'm not saying change the political landscape of your community. I mean, if you can do that, that'd be pretty cool. But by talking to a person or two people and just having a good, honest conversation, that's what we hope for.
And it's bringing folks the facts.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's bringing people the actual facts of what's actually happening and who is actually making that happen.
Yeah. And I mean, because I can tell you the facts about the other guys, and there's not much to tell because they don't talk about much and they don't want to do anything. So,
well, you can see that with California guy. He has no policies. He has platitudes. He hasn't brought anything forward saying, this is what I will do to fix X.
And this is a conversation I feel like we don't have. And when I say we, I mean the royal we, not you and I, because we've had this conversation, but we're not talking about more, which is similar to the Tim Michaels issue of running for governor. This is a guy who lives 3,000 miles away, who has truckloads of money, who is probably, you know, he's getting older. He's probably going to retire from the business sooner or later, and he needs something to do. Hey, I'll run for senator.
good campaign if you can find it.
Well, and did Mitch McConnell's the one who found him.
Yeah.
You know?
What a find, too, I must say. Just ice diving, axe throwing, California landowner with no real sense of policy issues and no real, like, he doesn't care. Because if Trump is the president, he stays rich. If Biden's the president, he stays rich. If Bob Kennedy becomes president, God help us all. But he still stays rich. So that's even a bigger conversation to me is about Eric Hovde and all these people who live hundreds, if not thousands of miles away and say, I know those folks. I want that job.
I know what they need.
Yeah, and I want that.
I know what they need.
Can I have that? I want that.
I still laugh by the story, and I think, Greg, we talked about this yesterday, this story about Eric Hovde raising $9.1 million with the slight caveat that he loaned $8 million to himself. So you raised maybe not so much, you know. Okay, so you raised $1.1 million. Well done. I couldn't do that. But saying, yes, I raised $9.1 million, let's just not look at the $8 million I gave myself.
A lot of times those are like super donors or they're given special, like, special names as part of the campaign. Like,
right, right, right.
So does that mean, like, what if he wins and he becomes senator, does that mean he gets to visit himself in Washington and have lunch with him? Because that makes him a super donor. Therefore, he's entitled to certain things, like a keychain, a senatorial keychain, and maybe a handshake and a picture, because he's a super donor to the Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde is a super donor to Eric Hovde. So,
super Eagle Platinum donor or something, right?
Triple Diamond X.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Elmo would like that.
Yes.
Elmo would like that. We have news coming up. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here at 11:33 so we can talk about sports.
We know we need to talk about, besides, I mean, with Paul, we're going to talk about the Bucks. We can talk about the Brewers. We can talk about some football. We got to talk about that WNBA draft, baby. Just happened. Huge. People are excited.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. And we also got a wonderful text, the 419 again. Thank you so much. Listen to WAUK. I like Senator Baldwin's style of caring about constituents and not obstructing governmental processes. A very refreshing callback to when political leaders remember they work in government, not sensationalized media. Hoping to see that approach start to trend in all offices. Good Lord, we all do.
Yeah, we certainly do. Unfortunately, it's the cuckoo caucus that gets all the media attention, and that's why they do it.
Yep.
And there have even been people within their own party who say they're worried about their next gig.
Yeah.
And whether they're going to go to Fox or OAN or what they're, you know, where are they going to land next? That's their bigger concern. They really aren't terribly concerned about legislating.
Yeah. Some of them are going to land in jail, maybe. Talking to you, Matt Gaetz. Point is, you always have 10% on either side who scream loud and hard and gather all the attention and spotlight. And then you got those people in the middle who get the work done.
Yep. They're in the background actually doing it.
Yeah.
Actually bringing it home.
Doing those deals because that's what needs to get done and making things work. And you know, we're talking about Speaker of the House earlier. Just doing the job.
Actually doing something.
Yeah.
Before we head to the news, in case you missed the latest completely real and totally legitimate attack ad that landed in, you know, somebody showed up at my door last night and I took it and we played. We're going to play it one more time, Calvin. if you want to play that Baldwin ad too, please take a listen.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you. Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC.
Ouch.
Dang.
Ow. Ooh.
Ooh. I could go to the hospital.
Felt that in the back
what
of my neck.
Or the burn unit.
News is on the way next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special report from ABC News. Israel retaliates. I'm Richard Cantu. The International Atomic Energy Agency confirming Iranian state media reports that a nuclear power plant at Isfahan in Iran was not damaged after Israeli missiles hit at least one site in that country.
We know from a U.S. official that Israel has struck Iran overnight in retaliation, apparently, for that Iranian attack on Israel with drones and missiles at the weekend. So it's an incredibly important moment. What we're hearing on the ground is that from Iranian state media, that's the mouthpiece of the regime in Tehran, is that there were explosions around the city of Isfahan in central Iran. What we can't say for sure at the moment, what was the target of that attack and what any potential damage was.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. Iran fired a volley of missiles and drones at Israel last weekend in retaliation for an Israeli airstrike in Damascus, Syria, that killed two Iranian generals. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican leaders of the Wisconsin legislature are suing to reverse one of Governor Evers' partial vetoes in the state budget. Evers struck language in a larger literacy bill that would have also sent money to private voucher and independent charter schools. The question is whether or not the bill was an appropriations bill. Wisconsin's Attorney General says the state has lost two-thirds of the money it used to get to support crime victims. Josh Call says money in the state budget is helping a little.
Even with that $10 million, there's a massive shortfall. Plus, that $10 million is only available to certain victim services, and it's just for 1 year. So we're facing very significant cuts.
On the other hand, Call says sexual assault survivors have more tools to pursue justice than ever. Call spoke to the Wisconsin Crime Victims' Rights Conference yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Here's a new Schwab emendation. Check out the indie film Hundreds of Beavers. The indie comedy follows a 19th century Applejack salesman, you heard that right, who finds himself trapped in the wilderness after losing everything in a fire. The filmmakers are from Wisconsin, and the film was shot entirely in northern Wisconsin. It has big laughs thanks to some great slapstick and well-written gags. Hundreds of Beavers is available to rent on Prime Video and Apple TV. Tons of fun. Think you're a techno boob? While sending invitations to her daughter's first birthday party, Mom Emily King accidentally invited hundreds of people from her contact list, including an ex-lover. King says she misunderstood what import contacts meant, and as a result, almost had to buy a really big cake. The theme for the party was Lord of the Rings. What one-year-old doesn't love Lord of the Rings? The frazzled King immediately canceled the party. I'm just hoping I can get a full refund on this Frodo costume. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy skies in the overnight. West to northwest wind still breezy with lows by daybreak in the mid-30s. On Friday, more clouds, breezy west winds between 35 and 40 miles per hour, highs in the upper 40s, more sunshine expected Saturday. Right now, it's 40.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator Gaylord Nelson created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda, and many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody in the house! It's all about the jump. Listen up. Left, right, throw your hands up. Get pumped. Come on.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It's absolutely free, and it allows you to listen to all the stations all across the state, individual shows, and then you can call and text directly from the app, which is pretty slick and pretty handy. And as we mentioned, too, before, Greg, if you listen to the show, if you like the show, tell somebody.
Tell someone.
We would really appreciate it.
Tell one person. That's it.
That's it. Like Paul Noonan. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, their sports guru. You spread the word about Matt Nair on air, don't you, Paul?
I absolutely do.
How are you doing?
Everybody, I run into you.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing quite well.
All right. Let's talk. We'll talk painful things first. Let's talk about the Bucks.
All right. All right. It's playoff time, so we have to talk about the Bucks.
Yes,
so,
we do.
I think the hope for everybody with the Bucks was that they would kind of go through the regular season. They would keep everybody healthy. They would sort of get it together at a base level. And then when the playoffs rolled around, they would explode into action, try their hardest, and turn into the juggernaut that we've seen them be in the past. And instead, things have not gone well lately. Everybody is hurt, no more than Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has a somewhat serious calf injury, and by all reports, is likely to miss the first two or three games of the series.
Oh, again, no.
I don't think anything is for sure, but reports are so far that is the case. There are a couple of comparable injuries that have happened to other stars in the past. I think Jokic had something similar, and it tends to take about that long to heal. So he is, of course, a freak. Maybe he'll get back more quickly than that, but it's not looking good for at least the start of the series, and it's really unfortunate that they run into Indiana as the first team they play, because Indiana is the fastest paced team in the NBA. They play at a very high rate of speed. That already gives the Bucks trouble to start with, especially on transition defense. And then when you take Giannis and his ability to cover a lot of ground out of the equation, it just doesn't look like a great matchup for them. So,
you know, first of all, I want to say thank you, Paul, because this past weekend I was having breakfast with my wife and the Bucks were on television. They were doing a highlights package and I started talking about them in great detail. And she said, "I really like your opinions on this." I go, "Oh, trust me. They're not my opinions. They are the very smart words of Paul Newman, J.R. Radcliffe, Pat Kreitlow, Joseph Hecky, all these individuals who talk about the Bucks on Civic Media. And I just listen, I take it in, and then I just say it again. So thank you for helping me understand basketball this season. One thing, though, that I did mention to her was the fact that one of the big problems, not problems, but concerns that people had was that Doc Rivers is not a great postseason coach, or he doesn't have a great record,
right,
I should say. What, like, you know, how he's with everything you've just described, he's got his own turning around he's got to do as well. Am I right?
You are. Doc does tend to get out coached in the playoffs. It's one of his things going back a long way. I think this is he is like the least of their problems. Like, they have Damian Lillard motivation problems, they have injury problems. Doc's not the greatest at picking up on like highly strategic teams, things like that, but he's at least got them into a competent defensive mindset. But it, I mean, it's a problem, but it's like the least of our worries.
Yeah.
Calvin mentioned in the comments a very good point. They did avoid the 76ers, which would have been, I think, an absolute disaster. And truthfully, while the East is actually pretty weak this year, there are some worse matchups than the Pacers. It wouldn't be that bad if Giannis was healthy. I just think with him out, it's not great. Not the Giannis being out obviously makes you worse against everybody.
Yeah.
But the specific thing the Pacers do well, he helps to combat a little bit. So,
if I'm not mistaken, did they beat the Celtics without Giannis? They beat a significant team with Giannis on the bench. So there is promise there.
When they won the title, they had to survive Giannis missing two games, and Chris Middleton played huge. it's not like they haven't done it before. I think, like, if you were looking for the optimistic perspective here, Chris Middleton is back. He seems to be playing okay, pretty well. The thing you really need, I think, is for Damian Lillard to just sort of turn into a professional and snap into it and really give his all. Because when he's at his best, he's a star. Like, he is a Giannis level star at scoring from outside and making plays happen. And you can survive with those two if they're playing at their best. The problem is, it's just an older team. It doesn't have any depth. If anybody else tweaks anything, they have to go to a very, very poor bench to replace people. They're already skating on the, like, acceptable levels of NBA talent past, like, Brooke Lopez. And it's just, you know, they're an older team. This happens with older teams, and this is probably their last hurrah. So they should be motivated. Hopefully they can survive till they get Giannis back, but it's going to be a tall order.
Does Dame Lillard need an extra mom? I would be willing to call him and take him to lunch. And I just feel like, come on, my friend. Tell me what's wrong. Are you lonely? What is it?
And eat something. You're so skinny.
Have some soup, you know?
That maybe something like that would help, honestly. hopefully the ring is enough incentive here.
Off to the Brewers, and this is where Greg gets very, very excited. Brewers are off to a hot start. How are you feeling about it so far?
A little bit mixed, because they have been dynamite, and their offense in particular has looked very good. And much of that, when I talk about baseball, I talk about a lot of what's sustainable and what's not. A lot of it is sustainable. The problem that they're running into at the moment is they're just out of pitchers. They got a fantastic performance from the bullpen yesterday in a 1-0 win with no starters able to give anything. And starting Bryce Wilson, who's honestly probably their worst normal bullpen guy, and did an admirable job gutting that game out. But Wade Miley took a ball off the knee a few days ago, mm-hmm. and it looked like he couldn't move. He's already very, very injury prone. Wade Miley kind of misses a year, then pitches a year, then misses a year. In terms of his normal schedule, this should be a missed year, and it's not looking good so far. And they just didn't do enough to address all of the innings that they're going to lose this year that would have been pitched by Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff. Freddie Peralta is great, but he's not a guy who goes deep into games. Wade Miley gets hurt all the time. And after that, it's journeyman. So their bullpen is starting to show some cracks, and this could become a problem. Fortunately, the offense has been legitimately good. Christian Yelich is on the IL. He has a bad back, a perennial bad back. As anybody who has ever had a bad back knows, no one has ever had a bad back. You'll have one. And so they're doing some load management with him. He has been playing at an MVP level so far this season when he's been on the field, which is great to see. But without him, they do take a little bit of a step back. But hey, it's good. Rhys Hoskins, their big offseason addition, has been hitting the cover off the ball. William Contreras is actually elevating the ball and has hit some home runs. They're getting good performances out of a lot of that offense. So that is something to be legitimately optimistic about.
If you are just joining us, Paul Noonan is our guest. He is a sports guru for the Acme Packing Company, and he joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The NFL draft starts next Thursday. So what should we be looking for in that, Paul?
The Packers are in a good situation in that they don't really need too much. Like, they could use a safety, they could use another offensive lineman, but they should be able to pick kind of whatever they want, especially early, and sort of fill in depth later. They have 11 picks in the draft, and one of the highest amounts in the league. Just for contrast, the Bears have 4. They pick their first round pick is at 25. If they end up trading, I won't be that surprised. And this draft is deep in offensive linemen and wide receivers. We don't really need wide receivers. We did a great job on that last year. The Packer wide receivers look dynamite. So if they end up with an offensive lineman, that would probably be my odds-on favorite. At 25, there should be one of 5 very good offensive linemen available. They'll have the pick of the litter. That's Troy Fatanu of Washington, Amarius Mims, a giant man out of Georgia, Graham Barton, who is very similar to Zach Tom coming out of Duke, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, or Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. I would wager heavily one of those 5 is the pick of 25 if they don't trade. There's a couple other guys they could go to too. I hope they get Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. I think of the guys available at 25, he's the most likely to end up being sort of a Hall of Fame level talent, and would help their defense immensely. But those would be all my picks of what they're likely to end up doing.
where the Packers are, you know, I'm not going to, well, I'm going to ask you to speculate, but not speculate too hard. You know, those players not being picked yet, even with the Packers team we have now, what we saw last season, you know, the term low expectations could not have been used more often than when we were talking about the Packers last season, but they really did shine. And I feel like with that sort of cohesive measure and cohesive nature they're having, they can take it to the next level if they manage to keep most of the same team as well. They're not going to be doing a lot of replacing, just adding.
That's right.
What do you see for them?
They were the youngest team in the league last year. So any chemistry they're building right now is just being built organically, internally. They don't have to think a lot about that. Just avoid your sort of normal red flags. I think that there's not really a guy or two in this draft they could take that would like instantly push them over the edge. Mm-hmm. What they really need to do is just focus on creating depth at a few places of sort of minor weakness. Like Kenny Clark is getting up there. His contract's going to be up soon. They probably need to add on the defensive line a little bit, but more in a backup role than, you know, to replace him definitively. Like they could use a few guys to spell Rashawn Gary with Preston Smith getting a little bit older. It's kind of like that. They just need to build around the edges and make themselves into the type of team that can withstand the injuries that happen over the course of an NFL season. And honestly, they have 11 picks to do it with. They're in really good shape. The way that they knocked it out of the park last year in the draft has really put them in a good spot. And they're just so young. They really have the chance to turn this into a juggernaut if they can get a three or four starters out of this one. That would be knocking out of the park. But even getting one would also put them in great position.
Using a baseball metaphor for football. I love it.
Yeah. I would just love to see Jordan Love and the whole team do well. I really would. I think that would be spectacular. We just have a couple of minutes left, Paul, and Calvin shared this article. Man, oh man, Caitlin Clark does it again. She has broken yet another record, her Indiana Fever jersey, the top-selling jersey ever for a draft pick.
Yep. She is one of the best players I've ever seen play. I never thought I'd see another player like Steph Curry. And the thing that has made Steph Curry so great in the NBA is, first of all, his dad, Del Curry, former Buck, is very good at teaching his kids to play basketball, but teaching people to shoot over defenders with this like quick release, so hard to replicate.
Yeah.
And nobody else in the NBA is anything like him. And then Caitlin Clark comes along and she has that release. And I think followed a similar path in going to Iowa, where she's kind of allowed, I think if she'd have gone to UConn or one of the big powers, she probably wouldn't have been allowed to do some of the things she did at Iowa, bombing away from half court, shooting from the trademark that makes her so special. And this is all entirely warranted. And Indiana is a good place to land, where Reggie Miller played previously, one of the other best three-point shooters in NBA history. And I'm glad she's knocking it out of the park, and that there are that the merchandising, that the financial aspect seems to be coming along with it.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a huge breakthrough for the WNBA and for, you know, women's stars across athletics generally. It's really good to see.
And that's one of the things I really enjoyed seeing about the WNBA. I didn't watch the entire draft, and I'm not going to propose myself to be as the biggest WNBA fan, but the love and the excitement everybody had. I mean, the TikToks, the streams, the reels, all the things coming through, these players who were playing against each other are now teammates, these players who are on the same team, some getting drafted, some are not. There's so much love and excitement. Yeah. And what I think is funny is that there's so many people who are banking on there to be adversity against each other, whether it because of sexist ideals or just competition, but they're so happy for each other. And it's been just a joy to watch these young women just use a Paul Noonan special, knock it out of the park.
Paul Noonan writes for the Acme Packing Company. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports balls. Thank you so much, Paul. I believe we will see you next week.
Yes.
We'll get that all straightened out. Stay Sounds close. Good. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Brittany Merlot, Weather and Wine is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Sweet Kale B on the board. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to have our friend and colleague join us for a little segment we call Weather and Wine, as she is Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I am so much better now that I'm talking to you, Jane. I've missed you.
Oh, we've missed you too. We had a couple of things. Greg's what?
Mad.
I'm nothing.
I talked to you this morning, Greg.
Whatever. Luke's not excited to talk to me. You're not excited.
We're
to talk
delighted to
me.
Have you with us, Greg Buck. Hey, and I wanted to remind folks too, because Brittany, you are essentially part of our news team. And our news team has done a really incredible job of curating news specific to the market in which you live. So if you live here in Waukesha, just go to waukradio.com. And then at the top, there's this little bar and it says the Civic Media Local News Roundup Podcasts. And they change every day. This is for every market that Civic Media has a home in. And you guys really do a great job with, again, putting in news that is specific to that area. So if it's school board races or, you know, whatever is going on in your community, this is a good place to find it. Check it out at our Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I love it. You know, our team works really hard too, to really give you the news that you guys want, that you need to know about, and not all that other stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's just so important because we've talked before about the lack of local coverage, the lack of local papers, how this has been a long-term process of these things kind of dying out. And it is really important, especially in any community, that you have somebody who's watching the power makers and the power dealers and keeping those folks
accountable.
So
you're watchdogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
We pay you.
Yeah, you work for us. You work for us. All right, Brittany, what are we looking for? Tomorrow is Friday. We're going to be heading into the weekend. What kind of weather are we looking at? I am so far behind in garden cleanup that it's a mess. Uh-oh. It's just a mess. So what's it going to be like? Because I need to work in the garden.
You know, you can get outside and definitely work in the garden this weekend. It's going to be dry. It's going to be sunny, but it's going to be much cooler. So there's going to be no sweating while you're doing the gardening whatever you want to clean up.
I have no problem with not sweating. That would be a plus for me. What 50s, 60s, where are we going to be?
So don't plant anything yet. That's for sure.
No.
If you did, you better cover it up or bring it inside or do what you got to do, because a frost is possible for a good chunk of the state tonight. And then we're all going to go into a freeze by tomorrow night. So yes, this means some cooler temperatures.
Every time you deliver something that is unsatisfactory in the meteorological sense, Jane looks at me
Like, I did something. Like, I am the one going, I shall make it cold.
No, it's just I'm envisioning, and now I have to get all little daffodil coats for all my little daffodils. Otherwise, they're all gonna get frosted tonight and tomorrow night.
I'm picturing this, and that sounds adorable.
Yeah, just tiny little jackets with no sleeves.
Little knit ones. Yeah. You know, little knit with just a little space.
With tiny little knit hats on top.
Head to come out.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right, then what about next week?
All right, so we're going to see some cooler temperatures right throughout the weekend. Highs really only tapping the upper 40s to low 50s. I did want to mention tomorrow is going to be very windy again. Gusts up to 35 to 45 miles per hour. So it's going to be a cold one. It'll start to feel a little bit better by Saturday. But as we cruise into Sunday, we'll finally get that shove into some nicer temperatures, sunny skies. We'll hold on to that for Monday. But by Monday night is our next chance of some rain moving into the area and into Tuesday as well.
That's not too bad, though. You know, it's not a complete rain out for, you know, that sounds nice. And I bet lots of people are going to be out and about this weekend. And it's Wisconsin. I saw a shirtless guy running yesterday. Like, really? Right? Wow. You're brave or just stupid. I don't know.
What can I say? I love exercise.
It was you, Greg.
No, I wouldn't do that to you or anyone else in the Waukesha area.
And as far as that storm that came through earlier this week, and I had been watching that, that was on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tuesday.
I think.
And it didn't come through our area until like 11 o'clock at night. And it, as you said, Brittany, the winds were vicious and those feisty winds.
You used my exact terminology. You remembered it.
I listened.
That's impressive. But I was actually driving through that all throughout the entire state with the 50-mile-per-hour wind gusts being sucked into those storms.
Oh.
It was fun. It was actually fun.
Listen to her.
Well, you're the storm chaser.
She's a storm chaser. Yes, yes,
but that's
yes.
me. Yeah. I was definitely a little nervous about some of those semi-trucks. I was like, with these winds gusting at that speed, I'm going to stay away from them. But
you really do get blown around, though.
Yeah.
You do.
I drive a hybrid. I basically, the wind's like, enjoy. I'm all over the freeway when it's windy. It's just miserable. That's why I want a truck so bad. I want a truck so bad.
We'll work on that.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll work on that.
Brittany, but then you'll hate the winter driving with that truck, I'm telling you.
I'm going to drive as fast as I want in the winter then. Four-wheel drive, and I don't care what anyone thinks, because I want to live the good life too, like a jerk on the freeway.
Yeah, because the laws of physics will no longer apply to you once you have a big truck, Greg Bach. That's exactly how it works.
That's what my daddy told me. That's what my granddaddy told me.
Brittany Merlot is our civic media meteorologist. She joins us every Thursday for a little weather and wine. Thank you so very much, Brittany. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Have a great day. News is on the way next, followed by the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you so much, Greg and Kellen and all our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you to Senator Tammy Baldwin and to Paul Noonan and Brittany. And thank you most of all to all of you for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel helps us review the first week of Donald Trump's historic criminal trial. His first one, anyway.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.